I'm Steve Gregory in Los Angeles, and this is the death and life of Kobe Bryant. Sunday, January 26th, 2020. Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, her two friends, and four others board a private helicopter in Orange County. The group is headed to a youth basketball tournament at Mamba Sports Academy in Thousand Oaks, a little over 70 miles away, just northwest of Los Angeles. Gianna and her two teammates were about to play in the tournament. Bryant was the head coach of Gianna's basketball team, the Mambas. Bryant's wife, Vanessa, was already at the sports academy. It was widely known that Bryant used a private helicopter to travel to practice, to games, and other events. He also once said using a helicopter kept him fresh and ready for games. The Mamba Sports Academy was a frequent destination for Bryant and his daughter. The pilot, Ara Zabayan, has flown that route many times before, and logs show the aircraft had flown the route about 24 times over a two-year period. Zabayan had flown other celebrities and VIPs through the helicopter's owner, Island Express. Conditions for the normally routine flight changed when foggy conditions set in. Zabayan was flying a Sikorsky S-76B, a common choice for corporate and VIP travel. Zabayan's aircraft was not equipped with TAWS, that stands for Terrain Avoidance and Warning System, but it was not a required piece of equipment, so Zabayan had to rely on his own line of sight to pilot the helicopter.
72 Echo X-ray, Burbank Tower, Burbank Altimeter 30190, Burbank Class Charlie, surface area is IFR, stay intention.
Tim Lin's a former helicopter news reporter and pilot and was part of the KFI News coverage the morning of the crash. Tim helps us decipher the radio traffic.
November 2 Echo X-ray, hold outside Burbank Class Charlie airspace. I have an aircraft going around.
So what has happened is he is transitioning up the 5 freeway. When he reached the about the LA Zoo, that's the border for the Burbank airspace. And because the weather was so bad, he said it was the towers reporting IFR, which is instrument flight rules, which means visibility and ceiling is pretty low. So the pilot at that point just requested a special VFR transition through his airspace. And that's a normal procedure that pilots can do when the airport is below what they call basic VFR.
So actually, yeah, you're on a 1200 code. Are you requesting flight following?
Okay, what that is, he said to him, he says, I see you on a 1200 code. In a transponder, if you have 1200 in your transponder, that means I am a VFR aircraft and I'm not talking to anybody. And at that point, so what the air traffic controller in San Diego seen is what they call a VFR target. He can see what the altitude and speed is of that aircraft.
2 Echo X-ray, what is the intention?
Some time passes, then.
2 Echo X-ray, you're still too low level for flight following at this time.
Radio silence.
2 Echo X-ray, SoCal.
A lot's been said about the actions of the pilot, Ara Zabayan. Should he have waited for the fog to clear? Shouldn't the helicopter have been equipped with the TAWS avoidance system? We may never know the answers to these questions, but we wanted to get a breakdown of the radio transmissions that day between Zabayan and air traffic controllers. Tim Lin's a former news helicopter reporter and pilot. He used to work for one of the big TV news stations here in Los Angeles. He's best known for his live coverage of car chases and other breaking news. So I asked him to listen to the entire transmission that was released and give us his play-by-play. This is the beginning of the air traffic control chatter that morning.
72 Echo X-ray, Burbank Tower, Burbank Altimeter 30190, Burbank Class Charlie, surface area is IFR, stay intention.
There's concern to maintain special VFR, asking for special VFR transition on the 101 westbound 2.
November 2 Echo X-ray, hold outside Burbank Class Charlie airspace. I have an aircraft going around.
2 Echo X-ray, holding.
Okay, so what has happened is is transitioning up the 5 freeway. When he reached the about the LA Zoo, that's the border for the Burbank airspace. And when he says Charlie airspace, the airspaces are designated by letters. So, you know, B being around, you know, large around LAX. Charlie is for the smaller commuter airports like Burbank. So Class Charlie airspace is the area that the tower controls. So, and because the weather was so bad, he said it was the towers reporting IFR, which is instrument flight rules, which means visibility and ceiling is pretty low. So the pilot at that point just requested a special VFR transition through his airspace. And that's a normal procedure that pilots can do when the airport is below what they call basic VFR. So because when you heard the controller come back and say, remain clear of Class Charlie airspace. I'll get back to you. I have a go around, which means an aircraft just tried to land but had to go around because he either didn't have the runway in sight or he was outside of his speed and altitude restriction or parameters that had to go around. And then apparently he had another aircraft coming in 9 miles out from there. So the rule is on special VFR, you're only allowed to have one aircraft in the airspace at any one time operating. So he had to keep the helicopter out of the airspace until that airplane or the two airplanes that were in the airspace or coming into the airspace, get those on the ground first, and then they were going to let him through. But that happens. If you have a busy airport and you're coming through and you want to try to slide through on a special VFR, they're going to hold you and make sure everybody else is on the ground first and then let you through.
November 2 Echo X-ray, and for your planning purposes, you can expect to transition to the north side of the airport. I just spoke with Van Nuys on the line, and they've got multiple IFR departures coming off of runway 16, so you can expect to follow the 5 north and cross that way.
Yeah, so because what was happening, they had a lot of instrument flight traffic coming into both airports, and to try to help him get through, they were just telling him, no, for planning purposes, because he was actually asking to go west or north 101, which would pass to the south of Burbank and to the south of Van Nuys. They were warning him that you're going to need to go up the 5 freeway to the 118 and go around the north side of the airports, because Van Nuys had IFR traffic or instrument traffic taking off to the south off their runways. They wanted to keep the conflicts down at that point. So they were just giving him heads up. So they were working with him, giving him information how to get through there. So that's that is all normal up to this point.
Trey, for your transition to Camarillo, did you just want to follow the 118?
118, and then we'll look around Van Nuys to catch the 101 2 Echo X-ray.
The 2 Echo X-ray, roger.
They offered him to take the 118 through the Santa Susana Pass, because there's a couple passes to get out of the valley to the west, because you have some high mountains there between the 101 and the 118. So there's one pass that goes to 118 Santa Susana, and then the 101 is the one that he wanted, because where he was trying to go is right off the 101. He had filed, from what I understand, to Camarillo Airport, or was saying he was going to Camarillo Airport, but actually he was going to a parking lot there in I believe either Agora or Calabasas near the Mamba Academy. So he wasn't going to try to go to the airport. He was going to land off-site, as we call it. So at that point, he said he'd like to, you know, drop down to the south and pick up that 101 and go through Calabasas and Agora Hills there.
Number 2 Echo X-ray, continue following the 5 northwestbound to join the 118, and then Van Nuys will work you through. Radar services terminated. Remain that squawk. Contact Van Nuys helicopters 119.0.
2 Echo X-ray, switch you to Van Nuys.
He just gave him his route of flight that he wanted him to take, and controller's trying to make sure that he keeps him out of the way of any of his aircraft. And then he also had already more than likely been talking on the two-way with Van Nuys Airport, telling him this guy is coming, and here's what I told him to do. And so now Van Nuys is going to be looking for him coming down westbound 118 from the fives instead of coming up the 101. So it helps out. The towers work with each other, trying to alert each other of the air traffic. So they gave him a route to follow the 5 freeway north to the west 118, and then check in with Van Nuys, and they'll take care of you when they take you on. So you'll hear it later on in the recording when he checks into Van Nuys.
Van Nuys helicopter 2 Echo X-ray with you for the special VFR transition. We are currently at 1400.
Helicopter 72 Echo X-ray Van Nuys Tower, wind calm, visibility 2.5, ceiling 1,100, overcast, Van Nuys altimeter 3016. Cleared into Van Nuys Class Delta, northeast of Van Nuys along the 118 freeway westbound. Advise when you're in VFR conditions or when you're clear of the Van Nuys Class Delta. Transition at or below 2,500, permitting.
2 Echo X-ray, advise in VFR condition, and then we stay on the 118. So we're currently at 1400, and we have 0235.
Helicopter 2 Echo X-ray, thank you. And once you clear Van Nuys Delta, did you want to talk to SoCal?
Affirmative, 2 Echo X-ray.
What she just told him was, she had radar identified him, said that he was radar contact. Then he gave him the weather at Van Nuys Airport, which was 2.5 miles visibility, 1,100 feet overcast, and the altimeter for the airport. So right now, he's up over the 118, and she then says, continue west on the 118 until in VFR conditions, which means visual flight rule conditions. And once he said, he replied back at the end, I am in VFR and continuing on. So what he was doing was going west on the 118, and when clear, he should report clear the Van Nuys class Delta airspace. So you have Charlie airspace in Burbank and then Delta in Van Nuys. He's going to work his way along to 118 and then skirt around the Van Nuys airspace towards the 101, which is all perfectly good.
Tower report to Echo X-ray. Go ahead and start turning to the southwest towards the 101.
He was asking if it was okay for him to turn south towards the 101, because more than likely he still was in her airspace. And so he was just requesting to make that left-hand turn from the 118 and follow over to the southwest to get down to the 101.
Helicopter 2 Echo X-ray approved. And are you transitioning in VFR condition?
VFR condition 1,500 to Echo X-ray.
Helicopter 2 Echo X-ray, thank you. Contact SoCal now 134.2 for flight following 34-2.
So right there, the controller from Van Nuys Airport then approved his request to turn southbound towards the 101 freeway. She asked if he was in visual flight rules. He replied back, yes, I'm in visual flight rules at 1500. And she said, approved as requested, and then asked for him to contact the SoCal TRACON, which is a SoCal radar system that covers the area here, to contact them, so that they could get him into radar contact and follow him to his destination.
X-ray ident.
And ident is a term let me explain what SoCal TRACON or the SoCal radar control. They cover all of Southern California, and they are based out in San Diego. And each controller has a little piece of the pie up in different sectors throughout Southern California. So you're talking to a radar controller down in San Diego at this point. And he just checked in with him, Echo X-ray request, and then when he came, he heard the controller come on, Echo X-ray ident. That means press a button on your transponder, which is a device in the aircraft that will send a signal to the radar and then make you on the radar scope kind of light up, they call it, or flash, to where he can see that dot is the guy he's talking to. So you're on a transponder on an aircraft, basically gives you a 4-digit code that they can assign to you, and then they can, know that dot that they're looking at is you, and then a what they call an information tag will be on that, and the information tag will move across their screen so they know who they're talking to. So he's just trying to verify radar contact with him at this point.
Coming up, the flight continues and seems pretty routine until...
2 Echo X-ray SoCal.
Radio silence. The death and life of Kobe Bryant continues after this. Former TV News Chopper reporter and pilot Tim Lin's been analyzing the radio chatter between pilot Ara Zabayan and air traffic controllers from San Diego, Van Nuys, and Burbank.
So, X-ray, yeah, you're on a 1200 code. Are you requesting flight following?
Okay, what that is, he said to him, he says, I see you on a 1200 code. In a transponder, if you have 1200 in your transponder, that means I am a VFR aircraft and I'm not talking to anybody. And at that point, so what the air traffic controller in San Diego is seeing is what they call a VFR target. He can see what the altitude and speed is of that aircraft. And now, I can't be for sure, since he talked to Van Nuys more than likely already put what they call a tag on him. So they kind of had an idea with the N number or the registration number of the aircraft is probably in there as well, since he'd already talked to an air traffic controller at Van Nuys Tower. So that whole thing right there is going, hey, you're not on a code. You're just squawking VFR, which means 1200. What is your intention? Do you want me to, you want flight following, which means I can follow you on the radar and give you advisories of aircraft around you. That's what flight following does. Also, it keeps you in contact with each radar sector as you move through your route of flight in case something goes wrong, or then mostly it's used for traffic avoidance.
2 Echo X-ray, what is the intention?
Yeah, where are you going? What are you doing? You know, so he had, so now he can formulate a plan with this aircraft of what he wants to do with him in his airspace.
2 Echo X-ray, you're still too low level for flight following at this time. Echo X-ray, SoCal.
You know, the radar coverage is only as good as where the radar towers are, and you have a lot of hills in that area. You have the Santa Monica Mountains. You have, and I'm not sure exactly which radar site they're working off of, because there are several radar sites through Southern California and through the basin that they use. And whatever one he was on, he couldn't see the target. He was getting intermittent because he had the tag at one point where he says, "I see you squawking, you know, 1200." So he had him for a little bit. Then all of a sudden, he got behind a mountain or got too low for the radar sweep, so he dropped off. So right there, he was had him on radar and had him on the radio, so you can talk to him on the radio, no problem. But his target kept dropping off radar. Then you heard him say, ask, you know, him to respond, and he didn't respond. So at that point, he was either below radar coverage and more than likely not listening to the radio or not hearing the radio.
Since that's the last part of the chatter, is there a presumption that that could have been at the point of impact?
No. It's a presumption, maybe, but from what information I'm hearing is that he apparently had asked for a VFR climb at one point. I've never heard a radio transmission of that, but that he had asked for a climb. Like I said, I haven't heard it, but that's usually what you hear at the end of a situation like this is they'll have you on radar, then you'll drop off radar, and then they try to reach you on the radio. And if you don't answer on the radio, it's usually what happens at the end. So as far as in the track, he'd already made that turn up the 101 or not at this point, I'm not really sure. But he could have still, you know, been south of Valley Circle there, Mulholland, on the 101 at this point. But there apparently was one other radio transmission asking for a climb.
Now, Tim, you've flown that route before. You've flown the area before. Have you had any problems with radio transmissions there?
Well, normally I don't speak with SoCal TRACON people because I know I'm too low and I'm out of their airspace and I really don't need their help going through there. You know, anytime you do that is when you're crossing along desolate areas, you want somebody just to keep an eye on you. Heading out through the Antelope Valley, I'll do that, or if I'm heading out through Palm Springs. But no local flights like that, you're not required. Once I clear Van Nuys airspace, I'm on my own. I don't need to talk to anybody.
Coming up, Tim Lin retraces the route that Ara Zabayan took that morning as the death and life of Kobe Bryant continues. Former TV news chopper reporter and pilot Tim Lin is giving us an insider's perspective on the unique language and conversations between pilot Ara Zabayan and air traffic controllers. Tim talks about retracing the path that Zabayan took that morning by flying the route himself.
Yeah, I've flown through that 101 pass multiple times. And even after this crash, I went back through there and I heard his last reported altitude at 1,400 feet, 1,500 feet. And I even tried to fly through there at 1,500 feet just to see what it would be like. And it was way uncomfortable for me to go through there at that altitude. Even in the daylight with, you know, perfect visibility, you know, I had hills on either side of me going up the 101. And I was a lot lower than I really would want to be to navigate through there. So, yeah, I just being curious as a helicopter pilot and listening to the transmissions and the different analysis that came out since the crash, I just wanted to see what it would look like to try to go up there. And that was, it was lower than I'd want to be going through that fast.
And then add to that fog.
Oh yeah, there's no way. I mean, I have minimums for flying when I was doing the news, going through the Newhall Pass. If I can get to 2,500 feet, I wouldn't go because I knew the wires were at 2,300 feet. And if the visibility was lower than I could keep contact with the ground, I wouldn't do it. But because you never know what's on the other side, because if you get in the pass and you have low visibility, you run into a cloud, you you can't turn left or right because there's hills on either side of you. And the only thing you can do is just, you know, pull power, pull back on the stick and start climbing straight out and climb up through the clouds and pop out on top and beg for forgiveness at that point. Ask for help to get back down. But, you know, you try to keep yourself out of situations like that. It's called inadvertent IMC or instrument meteorological conditions is what they talk about. And there's a lot of training that goes on to warn pilots about that, to train pilots not to get into that situation. As a flight instructor myself for both airplane and helicopter, our recurrent training that we're required to do every 2 years, they focus on that quite a bit. And they focus on other things that they've had problems with over the last 2 years. But it always is what they call inadvertent IMC, or where airplane drivers, you know, they take off for that $100 hamburger on a Saturday afternoon. And when they get to their destination, they fly into a cloud just trying to get there. And that's one of the things that really causes a lot of accidents in the general aviation world, is that pushing it into bad weather. But this pilot, very seasoned, had a lot of flight hours, a lot of experience in that aircraft. And he had been that route many times before, so he was figuring he could get on through it. And, you know, your luck is only as long as your luck goes, and some days you run out of luck.
Coming up in episode 2.
LA County Fire, 83.
Helicopter crashed into a mountain. We heard it, and now I'm looking at the flames.
Some hikers in the Lost Hills Mountains area of Calabasas had no idea what they just witnessed. The Death and Life of Kobe Bryant is a production of KFI News at iHeartMedia Los Angeles for the iHeart Podcast Network.